I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Norway's prime minister is going to establish a commission to investigate last Friday's bombing and gun attacks. The move follows increasing criticism of the police response and the fear that Anders Breivik is telling the truth when he says he didn't act alone. The scale of these attacks is unprecedented in recent memory in Norway. In all, 76 people were killed. But as The World's Clark Boyd reports, this is not the first time Norway has had to deal with right-wing extremists.
Oslo's central train station was busy and running smoothly this afternoon. But this morning, the station was closed for several hours while police investigated a suspicious package. It was a stark reminder that the capital and the country are still very much on edge. This actually isn't the first time Norway's dealt with right-wing violence. Tore Bjørgo is a professor of police science at Oslo's Institute for International Affairs. He's been studying the far right in Norway for decades.
The story goes back with the far right in Norway to the late 70s, when there was a rise of the so-called Norwegian Front, which was a fascist-oriented group with ties to the old Nazis of World War II in Norway. And the security police at the time had no interest.
Instead, Bjørgo says, the police were more concerned with potential left-wing extremists, anti-capitalists and Marxists. When bombings disrupted a May Day procession in 1979, police had no clue who might have done it.
However, those who had a clue were the Marxist-Leninists, who had set up their own intelligence service, more or less. And they knew quite exactly who those perpetrators were, and they ironically started to provide information to the police security service at the time, which were following them.
Gradually, Bjørgo says, the police woke up. The force began to develop its own intelligence on right-wing extremists. Bjørgo helped develop Norway's approach to fighting the threat. He created an exit program that allowed neo-Nazi youth to leave their groups and return to society. It was so successful that it became an export. Sweden and Germany, among others, used Norway's methods. And then, in 2001, Benjamin Ermansson, a half-Norwegian, half-Ghanaian 15-year-old, was stabbed to death by skinheads in Oslo. Tens of thousands of Norwegians poured into the chilly January streets to condemn his death and celebrate his life. Many Norwegian neo-Nazis were shocked that one group's hatred had actually led to such a brutal act. Membership in right-wing groups dried up in the years that followed. Also, police attention turned elsewhere after 9/11. Christian Harpkeven is director of the Peace Research Institute in Oslo.
Possibly what has happened here is that with our eyes fixed on Islamist extremism, we haven't only missed the activity on the right wing, we have actually missed the transformation, the mutations of right-wing extremism, and potentially what are constituting the new right-wing threats.
And that's where Anders Breivik comes into the picture. His targets were not immigrants, but the Norwegian politicians who let them in.
The enemy are those who are responsible for opening the gates, those who are ruining our country by making multicultural society a possibility.
Lars Gula studies multiculturalism at Oslo University College. Gula himself is a controversial figure, having been involved at one time with a Palestinian group that used terror tactics. Gula says he interacted with Breivik on a website called the Gates of Vienna, and that Breivik's postings didn't stand out as extreme.
I know that our security police are following the debates on such websites, and neither did they see him as someone who, you know, was sticking out with particularly aggressive views that would indicate that he would follow up his extreme opinions and ideas with action.
And that's one of the big challenges moving forward, balancing people's freedom to say what they want in real life and online with the need for security. Police science professor Tore Bjørgo says Breivik is forcing him and Norwegian authorities back to the drawing board. He says he's working on new strategies, but he cautions there isn't any magic pill for stopping extremism of any kind. For The World, this is Clark Boyd in Oslo.